Well, I'm here with Max Bunn on a special day back here at the Bloomfield offices for lunch and a celebration of a very long career in this this company. Max, so great to chat to you. Thanks for having this conversation.
Thanks, Garth. Yes.
You were just saying to me before we started, it's been what, how many years since you've walked into this office?
It'd be 30 years, yeah. Maybe longer.
Yeah. Mm. Things have certainly changed.
They have changed a little.
So 45 years.
44 and a half. I started end of December 1975 for a trial period. And it was supposed to be 3 months, but they end up giving my indentures for apprenticeship at the end of January 1976. So I'd be 16.
Yeah, right.
16
right.
Years old, yes. Yeah. The job came up and I decided I was in fifth form at high school. If I got a job, I'd go to it. If I didn't, I'd do sixth form. And I come here and Alan Meredith interviewed me. And I think I did most of the talking. that's it. He said you could start in a few days. It was virtually. So I really never had any school holidays or anything to speak of that year.
Straight in.
So I've worked from that time since. Alan probably wasn't the most adept interviewer. So I was making up more of the conversation, I think, than he was.
Filling in the gaps.
Yeah. Nice bloke, though. Good bloke.
Yeah. So were you the first apprentice?
First apprentice.
Did you get a sense of what that meant? I don't suppose you did, was it?
No idea, really.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
What do you remember of the early days and what do you remember of what you were thinking? Were you happy you'd made this choice straight away, do you think?
I quite enjoyed the work back then. It was interesting, a lot of big equipment, and I was learning a lot. And I guess you learn more from the people there. At the time, there were six fitters and three labourers. That's all that was there.
Mm. And what were you actually doing? What was your physical
fitter,
job?
Fitter and machinist, yeah. I was.
Right.
But I did more work on earth-moving gear. And over that time, I spent more time rebuilding the engines and transmissions and a bit of machining. We put two shovels together.
And you were going to technical college at the same time? What were
tech,
you?
Tech College at Cessna.
Yeah.
Did that for 3 years, one day a week. And Alan trusted me. He never even checked to see if I was going. I was always going. I said, you go side this card because it'd be... He never worried about me though. I quite enjoyed the trust that I was given from that time on.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot has been made over the years about the family, you know, culture of this place and the accessibility to, you know, to the bosses. What did you notice as a youngster? Did you get to talk to the...
Oh, Paul, he'd come and talk to me about every day, just about. I'd run into him. And I went and worked on his boat a bit up at Lemon Tree. He had the boat at Lemon Tree. Being apprentice, I got dragged along. Alan and I'd go up, Alan Meredith. It was different, I guess, anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there 10 and a half years. I went to coal prep plant here next door. Bloomfield One, I was there a couple of years. 1986, I started there in June. And then I went underground for probably 3 years almost. And I quite enjoyed it. I was there in the earthquake in 1989. I was actually underground at that time when it happened. You could see a wave move through all the strata underground. Because the first rumour was Newcastle Workers Club blew up.
That's right.
And yeah. I thought, boy, it's a fair explosion to rock us up here.
It's a fair way away.
And we stayed down there probably another 20 minutes and come up. And it was the biggest thing I struck me on the day was total silence. There wasn't even a bird singing
wow.
when we come out of the pit. Because normally there's a bit of noise around, but there was nothing. So when the pit, they were starting to look at wind at the back, I thought, no, this is not for me. And they said I'd be the last fitter to be kept on. And Alan Dyson was supposed to be the last electrician kept on at the time. And I thought, no, that's too close to the end for me. So I asked for a reference. I said, I'm going. Well, the next day, Brett coming off and be the job at Rix's Creek, and I've been there ever since. And I drove past there probably 12 months before that. I thought, oh, who'd travel up here? And here I've done it for most of my working life.
What was it like starting off up there?
We just had virtually nothing there to work with. A few scrapers, a couple of dozers and a couple of loaders. A handful of blokes. I started straight at afternoon shift and there was only four operators. We were in a few demountables for shower rooms and crib rooms and the wind used to howl through the place and they actually had to bolt the demountables to the ground. The wind was that strong.
Wow.
I thought, what have I got myself into here? But I gave it, stuck it out for a couple of years, and then the coal prep plant, I was involved when they were building that.
When you look back, you've had a shed named after you?
Oh yeah, I see that.
Tell us about. Were you expecting that?
No, I wasn't. But I spotted it before they actually unveiled it. Because there was some electricians there, they must have torn the sign a bit. I thought, what's that say up there? Yeah.
And how did that make you feel?
Yeah, pretty good. The management I was working with, at the inn, they were as good as I've worked with anywhere.
Well, for you, 61, that's pretty young to be retiring. How?
Well, we all used to retire at 60.
Yeah, but 61 seems young these days. I mean, even 65
seems...
Yeah,
well, it's not.
No.